The second day of the inquest into the death of 16-year-old Aoife Johnson has heard an emergency department doctor at University Hospital Limerick describe an impossible situation due to overcrowding. The doctor was the only senior house officer on duty on the night of the 17th of December 2022. The teenager died from sepsis at UHL while awaiting treatment. Our Western correspondent Pat McGrath was in court and joins us now. Pat, the evidence given today by Dr. Leandri Caird, what did she have to say about the conditions when Aoife was admitted?
Well, she outlined how that weekend in question, Brian, the 17th and 18th of December 2022, there was a lot of bad weather and the incidence of falls on black ice increased the number of people presenting at the emergency department at University Hospital Limerick. She said there were almost 200 people waiting to be treated. And just to give an idea of the time scales and the pressures and the chaos, I suppose, in the emergency department, she said that Category 2 patients faced a 19-hour wait for treatment. Now, Category 2 is a heading under the Manchester Triage Protocol. It's an internationally recognised best practice guideline, I guess, for hospital treatment. And it says that if you're deemed Category 2, you're in need of very urgent care and you should be seen within 10 to 15 minutes. On this weekend in UL, Category 2 patients faced a 19-hour wait for treatment. Category 3 patients, ideally, should be seen within an hour, faced a 39-hour wait. So that gives you a sense of the scale of the challenges facing staff on the weekend in question. And all this we're hearing over the course of the inquest yesterday and again today has fed into the way in which Aoife Johnston's care unfolded in the hours after she presented on the Saturday evening into the Sunday morning up until the afternoon of Monday the 19th of December when she passed away.
Dr. Caird also told the inquest that ED patients were routinely prescribed medication without being seen by a doctor.
And again, this is a consequence of the pressures that staff are experiencing there. She said it was far from ideal, but that it happens on every shift, every day in the emergency department at UHL. And colleagues of hers who subsequently gave their depositions and were cross-examined by the counsel for the Johnston family, Damien Tansey, they concurred with this, that it's not an ideal situation, but in some instances anti-nausea medication or paracetamol is prescribed by doctors without reviewing patients so they can ease temporary pains and aches that they may be experiencing while they are waiting for treatment. So this is something that happens on a routine basis in the hospital. And again, this has fed into discussions about the timing of the medication administered and when it was administered and what was administered to Aoife Johnston, because Damien Tansey has said it's the family's contention that over the course of her first night in the emergency department, that three clear chances were missed during which antibiotics, which may have presented the onset or dealt with the onset of sepsis, could have taken hold. They weren't administered until a quarter to eight on the Saturday morning, almost 14 hours after she first presented at the ED there.
And finally, Pat, it's expected that there'll be evidence from other medical staff who treated Aoife?
We've heard several other colleagues of Dr. Caird who were in the hospital or on duty over the course of those 48 hours on call. They've all concurred with the contention that the hospital was snowed under in terms of pressure that weekend with lengthy wait times. They've all concurred that the habit or the practice of prescribing medication without reviewing patients sometimes does take place. And they've all concurred that by the time Aoife Johnston was brought to the resuscitation unit in the emergency department at around 9 o'clock on the Saturday morning, her condition had significantly deteriorated and that she was critically unwell at that point.
Pat McGrath, Western correspondent, thank you for that.